Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. In past years, when we've had worship outside in late October, which we're obviously not doing today, but we intended to, I've set aside the lectionary and chosen a spooky story from the Bible to preach on instead. It's a fun opportunity to explore some of those stranger passages of Scripture that don't pop up in the lectionary. Now, if you're sad to miss a spooky Bible story, our children recently learned in Sunday school about Daniel and the handwriting on the wall. I'm sure they would be happy to share that with you if you're interested after church. But this year I decided that the lectionary is already seasonally appropriate. Now, it's not so much that Jesus' parable is scary, though it might be, I guess. There is a certain foreboding to Jesus' final statement, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled." But more than spooky, Jesus' parable offers us both trick and treat. I had a classmate in high school who, in the way teenage boys occasionally do, thought he'd happened upon a joke funny enough that it needed to be told daily. He said, "I am so humble that I won a trophy for it. Want to see it?" I fell for it. "Sure." He had nothing to show me, of course. He just waited for me to catch on to the irony of bragging about winning a trophy for humility. Repeating the question daily paid hilarious homage to my gullibility. Humility is an admirable quality. It's one we appreciate about others and something many of us strive to cultivate in ourselves. But humility is also tricky, because if we succeed in pursuing it, we might find ourselves rewarded for it. Maybe not with a trophy, but possibly with praise or admiration. And then we slip slide right back into pride and have to start all over. How does one achieve humility and stay humble about it at the same time? Well, maybe we should ask the men we meet in Jesus' parable today. The Pharisee and the tax collector both go to the temple to pray. In a private moment with God, the Pharisee offers thanks, which is a perfectly appropriate activity for prayer. We pray to thank God for another day, for the good things in our lives, for God's love for us. Except the Pharisee gives thanks for something strange. "God, I thank you that I'm not like those other people who do all the bad things." The Pharisee isn't like them at all. No, he fasts twice a week, though it's only required once annually, and he tithes more than is required by the law. The Pharisee is an over and above kind of guy. Jesus contrasts the Pharisee's prayer with that of the tax collector. The tax collector beats his breast, a sign of contrition that Jews perform on Yom Kippur, the annual Day of Atonement. But today is not Yom Kippur, and even so, the tax collector self-flagellates and prays, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He won't even look up from the ground. He's so ashamed of his sin. Of the two men, Jesus says it is the tax collector who goes home justified. So, that's pretty straightforward, really. I think we've covered it all. Clearly, Jesus wants us to see the Pharisee is bad for bragging about his own righteousness and for looking down on others, and the tax collector is good because he understands his own sinfulness and knows that the proper thing to do is call on the mercy of God. That settles it. We're done. But that's far too simplistic for Jesus' parables. It's easy for us to wag a finger at the Pharisee. In fact, that may be what Jesus expects us to do. Not to say that may be what Jesus wants us to do, to draw us even deeper into the parable. Even without our religious sensibilities, we know that self-promotion and tearing down others are distasteful behaviors. But outside of this one snapshot Jesus describes for us, I'm not sure the tax collector is a role model either. In fact, the tax collector's behavior is actually more destructive than the Pharisees. Now, maybe not here at the temple before God, but out in the community the rest of the week. We know that tax collectors colluded with the Romans and oppressed their own people. We know that as long as they gave Rome what was due them, tax collectors could and would squeeze as much as they could out of their neighbors. The tax collector is humble in prayer. We'll give him that. But for his day job, he swindles his neighbors on behalf of an oppressive regime. When we compare him to the Pharisee who gives away more than is required, but I guess, yes, is a bit cocky about it in a moment of private prayer before God, we wonder, who is the villain of this story, really? Trick or treat. There is no villain, and there is no hero. As is always the case with Jesus' parables, these are complex, not flat, characters. The Pharisee thinks too highly of himself and has contempt for others, but is living according to the law and even in some respects beyond the demands of the law. The tax collector is part of a corrupt system that harms his neighbors, but he understands his own unworthiness, and need for God's mercy. Both men get part of the life of faith right and part of the life of faith wrong. So what is Jesus trying to do with this story? Well, Luke told us what he was trying to do right at the outset. Luke says he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. It would seem that this parable is meant to correct folks like the Pharisees by lifting up the humility of the tax collector, except just as soon as we declare the tax collector more righteous than the Pharisee, we find that we've fallen for Jesus' trick. Because we soon find ourselves saying, thank God I'm not like that Pharisee, always thinking he's better than everybody else. Or even, thank God I'm not like that tax collector who beats his breast at the temple but then spends the rest of his week swindling Miss Betty out of her Social Security check. Jesus sets us up to reveal our own propensity to say, thank you, God, that I am me and not them. It turns out the parable isn't about teaching the Pharisee to be humbler and more empathetic, and it isn't about teaching the tax collector that even though he says all the right things, he needs to pair those words with honest actions to make an honest living. No, the parable reveals that every one of us tends toward trusting in ourselves while regarding others with contempt. The parable is a mirror for each of us to see ourselves more clearly, and we may not like what we see. Luke writes, he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. He might as well have written, he also told this parable to all y'all. Because each one of us has said to ourselves or to others some version of, thank you, God, I'm not like them. Oh, now, it might not sound exactly like those words, but we do have ways of placing similar distance between ourselves and others, as the Pharisee did. In our day, it sounds more like, well, those people, they're just not very smart. Those people, they just don't want to work. Those people, they don't care about anybody but themselves. We just kind of tend to leave off that implicit comparison to ourselves that we obviously are very smart and work very hard and do care deeply about others. When we throw around the "those people" statements, are we not simply modernizing the words of the Pharisee? We also reveal how much we have in common with him when we think about who we would not want to be accidentally confused for. We could probably think of many uncomfortable examples here, but I will spare you those. To keep it light, it's safer to say that our Purdue fans around here would speak up quickly if they were mistaken for a Hoosier, and vice versa. Don't confuse me with those kinds of people. More seriously, we hear this kind of eager clarification among Christians sometimes when we don't want folks to mistake us for judgmental, uneducated, or close-minded. Oh, we're not that kind of church. Can we imagine those words on the Pharisees' lips? The parable sends us home feeling a bit sheepish because, of course, we know that Jesus is right. We can all be prideful about being more righteous than others around us. But also, this parable sends us home a bit frustrated because it does feel like a trick. When we strive for good works or when we strive for humility, we find that just as soon as it's in our grasp, it slips through our fingers like a mirage in the desert. Trick or treat? Well, it turns out that even in the midst of this parable that tricks us into self-indictment, we can also discover a bit of a treat. No, Jesus does not tell us how to break the cycle. I wish that he did. But he does show us that God justifies those who understand their need of God's mercy. The tax collector, despite all the issues he needs to clean up in his own life, did go home justified when he threw himself on God's mercy. And God's mercy is the treat that never runs out. We can dip our hand into that candy dish over and over again. The antidote to the pride that ensnares us, even when we think we have it all under control, is remembering that every one of us relies on the mercy of God. We cannot fast enough, tithe enough, live righteously enough to justify ourselves. We all depend on our merciful God, who is always and ever our only singular hope. And that mercy is pure gift, pure grace, pure treat. Thanks be to God. Amen.